This is Alan.
And the Grizz.
Just a few quick messages before the start of the episode. First of all, thank you very much for listening to Rise of the Robots. If you can, we really appreciate it if you can rate and review us at the end of the episode, obviously, on your podcatcher of choice. Ratings and reviews are how we get onto the charts. Really, we would really appreciate it. Also, if you subscribe on your podcaster of choice, that'd be fantastic. Also, if you want to get in contact with us, well, you can email us at rotrpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also get in touch with us on our Facebook, which is Rise of the Robots, and our Twitter, at podcastrotr. That's podcast R-O-T-R.
And finally, just a reminder that Rise of the Robots is held under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 4.0 international license. Enjoy the episode. Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of Phantasm, and continuing on to Justice League, Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU podcast and subscribe today.
I'm the Grizz.
I'm Alan.
And today we'll be covering Season 2.0, Episodes 9 and 10. Of BattleBots.
I did wonder for a second if you'd forgotten what series we were covering.
Yeah, I was too excited to do the Ty Dillinger 10 reference that I forgot about everything else.
Fair enough.
Ah, man, if only we were willing to put that theme music at the beginning after I said it, but... You know, copyrights and all that hoopla.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, we're into the last two half-hour episodes for a while. We're looking at the next couple of quarterfinals. And, oh boy, this does not necessarily start with the most riveting of matches.
No, just at the end of the last episode when it says, oh, it's nothing but good matches from now on. And then we're like, oh, wait, we start with this match. And then realize who's in the following match.
So, this is a super heavyweight contest between Ronan, which is a tank bot with a massive saw, and Revision Z, which is a wedge bot we've not met before.
No.
But, now, at first I thought it looked like it had like a flipper weapon.
That's what I thought as well, yeah.
But
they kept saying it was like a... They kept saying it was a wedge.
And suddenly it fights like a wedge.
And because it kind of looks like a weird flipper axe weapon or something like that. It was very confusing as to what it was meant to be. And then it never used whatever it was meant to be anyway. It just kind of pushed
about.
It didn't
need to.
Yeah. I suppose. Which is weird considering the fact that, like, you know, Ronan is still one of the most more iconic robots of, like, early BattleBots. But, again, it's kind of like what I said in the last episode with Nightmare, with... He's one of those robots that you always know and recognize, but you don't realize that it's not actually, like, that great of a robot.
Yeah.
At least in these early seasons. I mean, like, I'm pretty sure Ronan is one of the... One of the few, I mean, because they had a lot of, like, old BattleBots toys, like, back during this era, and Ronan was quite a prominent robot that had the toy. So, because yes, I have been sitting for hours on eBay looking at BattleBots toys, wondering if I would be willing to spend the outrageous amounts that you want for them, and the shipping from America. So far, I have not, but that doesn't mean that won't change in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what ends up happening with this match is, at first, the match starts and Ronan doesn't move.
Yep. Pretty much, it just sits there, and then as Revision Z comes up, it kind of pokes Ronan, and then Ronan starts to go in a circle.
Yep.
I don't think Saw ever starts either.
No, it doesn't. Or if it does, I think it gets bashed by Revision Z and it stops working immediately.
Yeah, and then it dies quite quickly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, yeah, it does. Ronan gets one hit with the Saw, and then it dies, is in my notes. Yeah, and then just it's just a case of the entire rest of the match is just Revision Z pushing Ronan about. It gets under it at one point, and you kind of see like the way that the robot can kind of articulate, which was quite interesting. And yep. Then with about 20 seconds left in the match, Ronan catches fire.
And at one point as well, I noticed Revision Z, I think, gets stuck in the Killsaw hole.
Uh-huh.
Which is strange.
Yeah. It would have been really interesting to see what they would have done if Revision Z couldn't get out of that. Like, if they were going to give Ronan the victory off of that, despite the fact that Ronan had not actively made any forward progress throughout the entire match.
Yeah, absolutely. It is strange indeed.
So that was a 45-0 victory for Revision Z.
Which, I suppose, that had to be the result, didn't it? There was no...
Yeah, pretty much.
But, you know what? Yay! We're going to improve now because we have a robot whose name I feel uncomfortable saying.
Spaz! I'll say it.
And its opponent...
Buddy Lee, don't pee in the street.
Hooray! Buddy Lee's back.
And yeah.
With the most horrific sounding catchphrase, if you actually think about it for 2 seconds. Which is the Buddy Lee team get interviewed and they go, well, they say that women can't drive, but we say, women drivers, no survivors.
So you're literally just playing into the hand of people that say that women can't drive.
Yeah, you're just sitting there going, that's an awful stereotype to be perpetuating, and you're actually making it worse.
You're right, we can drive, and we murder people. And then they go on for far too long about their fucking outfits as well.
Yeah, they have, like, that idea of, like, Buddy Lee is still this weird thing where they're simultaneously trying to go, oh, we're not stereotypical women. Now let us do all the stereotypical woman things.
Look at our outfits, look at our makeup.
But don't treat us like we're just stereotypical bimbos.
Team Fembot. Yay.
I mean, it's like... You are or you aren't, guys. It's... I mean, if you aren't, that's fine, but...
Don't try and tell us you're not and then act like it.
Yeah, I'll act like it or don't. You know, don't... You know, it's kind of like...
I mean, it would be kind of like saying, like, I'm not your stereotypical wrestling fan.
And then I go out... basement in a pile of filthy, glued together magazines and Japanese anime playing in the background.
And having a neck beard.
Yep.
That's always a stereotype of wrestling fans.
And no you one know, can like stand a, like, near you for like 2 minutes.
Like the kind of wrestling fan that only has wrestling t-shirts and nothing else.
Thankfully, I've shaved since then.
Thankfully, I've bought Banda t-shirts since then.
So.
But I did move out of my parents' place a long time ago.
Right, fair enough. So, I actually haven't... Well, I went to move on to the next match, because it's not a memorable match.
No, one of the most memorable parts of this is right at the start when Buddy Lee deploys the dogs and one of the little Dalmatians goes straight into a kill zone.
Yes. You just say, there's this moment where it releases the puppies! Not those puppies.
Release the hounds!
Go away, Jerry!
But considering the... puppies! But considering the fact that... oh god, I've lost my train of thought now after that. Hold on. Because there was a point I was going to make on that. Oh, god damn it. I think it's gone.
Damage against Buddy Lee.
Well, since you're bringing up damage to Buddy Lee, like, Spaz is, Spaz knocks the shit out of Buddy Lee.
Oh, god, I.
And it goes to show just how, you know, like, terrible that this chassis or the... Like, I mean, it is clearly, like, what, plastic, isn't it? Because, like, just the lightest shot and the stuff crumbles.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, I'm still determined to remember this point that I was going to make about the dogs, but I think it's completely gone now. God damn it.
The thought of puppies distracted.
Oh, that's what it is. Oh. You know how they add in the noises of, like, the robots... clanging together, so it's like the two robots will bang together, it's like bum bum, and then it's like, yeah, well, what they should have done is when one of the robots, like one of the dogs got hit by the kill, so they should have just added an arf.
No
Because there's another part later on in the match where, like, Buddy Lee drives over one of his dogs, and if it just went, ORF!
No, that's distressing.
Yeah, but they're not real, so it's alright.
They're real to me, damn it.
Plus, as the end of the fight, like, the Spaz gets stuck the kill saws and just kind of drives towards it, and then one of the dogs just gets completely obliterated.
Oh, God.
Which is pretty much all the notes that I have for this entire match was there were dogs, and the only other part was when Spaz constantly knocked the shit out of Buddy Lee's head during the fight.
I wanted to decapitate Buddy Lee.
It just very much reminded us of the old Robot Wars we used to watch, where they kept continuously showing that shot of Andy Royd. Getting bombed in the face by that mace.
What happened is that somehow Spaz knew about the shunt obsession with puncturing Major Tom's head.
Mm-hmm.
And it wanted to get in there first.
Maybe that's where Shunt got it from. Maybe during the time off, he was sitting watching Spaz versus Buddy Lee, and it's like, I'm going to try that with the next
face
head,
I see.
Head robot. Yeah. I mean, because he does it to pretty much every face. He does it to Banshee. He does it to Fatboy 10. He loves doing it to fucking Major Tom.
Yep.
And that's just a couple off the top of my head. No doubt there's probably more.
Hi guys, Alan.
And Chris.
Here with a slight break from the main show. Just say thanks to the people about whom this podcast would not be possible. Firstly, to Greg Watt, who designed the Rise of the Robots logo. I butchered it slightly.
Also want to give a quick shout out to Technolax, who do our theme song, Master Machine. You can check out Technolax on YouTube or their website at technolax.com to listen to all of their royalty-free tracks.
So, we get to the main event of episode...
That's 26-19 judges' decision for Spaz.
Which... How?
I guess you could argue the fact that, like,
aggression.
Buddy Lee kept trying to bump into them for aggression. Like, they didn't kind of run away. They always kept coming towards them.
I suppose.
But, I mean, like, it goes to show that this fight was so unmemorable, the fact that we spent more time talking about the stuffed dogs than the actual fight.
So, we get on to the main event of this episode, and it is the Master versus Blade Runner. And it's a proper thwack on thwack bot.
Oh, this was thwacky to the 10th degree.
And this match made up for the previous two.
Yeah, definitely. Because that's the thing, I was very disappointed about the first match just because it could have been potentially good if Ronan could have ran. It just didn't. And then as soon as I knew that Buddy Lee was going to be the other match, it was like, well, that's not really going to do very much.
Yeah. So.
But as you say, oh boy, what a fucking treat this main event was.
So the Master has its axe version this time. So it's got this sort of weird arrow spike thing. And
yeah, pretty much a macy kind of weapon.
And obviously, Blade Runner has its spiked hammer at the end, and it does the spinning thwackbot.
So this is literally your overhead thwackbot against your kind of side-to-side thwackbot.
Absolutely. And the Master just goes for it. It just charges balls out. It goes for the, if I hit it enough times, it can't spin up.
Yeah, it literally rocked out with its cock out. Because it very much did look like a cock in this match. The opening seconds of this match just went like the two of them just bombed straight for each other. It was once again like a boxing match where it's just like the first round where you just see the two of them just like they just go straight for it.
Absolutely.
Oh, it was awesome. And then they just kept going at it. Like, I mean, as you kind of say, like, Blade Runner didn't manage to get to spin up very much during this fight, but it still tried to use, like, because it's got a lot of power in it, it's showed that before, and it tried to do that again here, but it was just kind of...
It's not as
the
easy.
Master
because
is such a weird shape.
The Master isn't really easy to push around.
Yeah. It kind of gets one or two decent shots where he could get the his sort of axe bit in between the two balls of the Master, and kind of managed to push him a bit that way, but like that's he only managed to get that like once or twice, and even then the Master is on top of him, so he's still swinging his kind of weapon down on Blade Runner while that's happening, so Master's still scoring points at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then we get to the kind of last 40 seconds of the match. And just like the last match, Blade Runner starts to run out of juice.
And you actually see the Master. Well, this moment where the Master goes, oh, okay. I've got. And it is. It just starts to wail.
Oh, yeah.
On Blade Runner.
Yeah, I literally have a note that just says, Blade Runner kind of stops at one point and Master uses that to just bash and bash and bash.
And it does. It just absolutely hammers away, wails away, and it is able to finish the match much the stronger. And I think that might have been crucial.
What would you say, that Blade Runner was kind of on top beforehand?
I wouldn't say on top, but it was. It went from being an extremely close match.
Yeah.
To definitely being the Master's.
Yeah, that's what I would argue. I'd say it was very somewhat 50-50. And then that last sort of 40 seconds when Blade Runner started to die and Master just started getting those big hits in was the difference for the victory there. I completely agree with you. So it was a 28-17 judges decision for the Master.
Yeah.
So that's very close.
We get to episode 10.
Yeah.
And we start with, I have to say, one of the most impressive beatdowns of the super heavyweight division.
Is this the first time that we've seen both these robots this season?
Yes.
Which is astounding.
I mean, Dissector, so Dissector, obviously, it's the, oh, what's his name?
God damn it, it's just went out of my head as well. Hudson.
Dirty Donald Hudson.
Hudson's his surname. There you go.
So Dirty Donald Hudson's back. This robot was kind of, it was not that impressive previously, because it's one of these robots that sort of, it's got these two mini axes that just kind of look like they're flailing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one part of Dissector that I was never really a fan of, was those tiny little axes.
But what is quite impressive is it's, and it gets it right this time, how devastating that front jaw is.
Yeah. Which is probably why he brought it back for Lockjaw originally and then changed it.
Yeah.
I don't, can you tell how excited I am about the fact that, like, BattleBots is currently being recorded?
Oh god, unfortunately not with the British robots that we hyped up in the episode 2 weeks ago, because that was recorded in August.
I know, but you know what? Right now, I will fucking take anything. And there's going to be a lot of potential, because there were some robots that were not ready to be in the season that then, in turn, became ready since the season got delayed. So it's going to be hella interesting now to see these new robots. And then, even now that the announcement that Bite Force...
a new champion.
Yeah, Bite Force is not going to be there this year.
Which, now here's the question. Does that devalue the championship slightly?
I mean, it does and it doesn't. But I think this is kind of one of these things where you can't really look at it as a devaluation because of the situation that's going on right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
If any other time, then, like, if Bite Force just decided to not show up 1 year, I would say maybe, but even then, I don't think that would be too much. But I don't know, it's just kind of one of those few things where it's like, I think, like, we're getting a season regardless. Like, I think there's some people that are kind of calling this a kind of not real season, like, air quotes kind of thing. And it's like, it doesn't, like, I don't think anybody cares, though. They're just like, it doesn't matter. We're getting some robot fighting this year, and that's all we care about right now.
Yeah, which is more, yeah, it's more than we were getting.
Exactly. So, you know, we'll take what we can get, and we can look at this. Everybody can look at this for the way that they want to look at it. It's just, we're getting it, and that's that. Everybody can just rejoice in that aspect.
Indeed. So, this match, what happens is, it's one of these moments where, am I right in thinking, is this the same team that made Complete Control?
Who, Ramstein?
No, Dissector.
No.
Okay, I'm getting completely mixed. No,
it's Dissector or Team Tazbot.
Okay. So, what happens is that, at first, Ramstein's able to kind of get away from the jaw. And then there's this moment where Dissector gets a grip, pushes Ramstein into the wall. Ramstein kind of gets stuck and is struggling. And at first you wonder, why is Dissector trying to do anything? Ramstein's done, it's over. And then it's because you realise Dissector wants to feed Ramstein to the pulverizer.
There was this good shot, like, right at the very start of the match where they kind of collided, and then you seen Ramstein's massive spike just go, jump! And it's like, That's the first time I've seen, like, that spike do anything impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a... It's not like Rhino's weapon, for instance.
Yeah, I mean, that was static. But then also, it's that kind of thing. Like, the way that Stein in the last season, like, they already had troubles because they had this kind of big jutting-out spike weapon in the last season, but when it finally got to its fight, it's like, no, the thing's goosed. It's just going to need to be static. So this was, like, the first time where you actually got to see the weapon actually do something. And it just looks... It's a big, meaty fucking spike.
So... Ramstein absolutely caves in. Look, it does. The pulverizer just destroys it.
Oh, yeah. It just, it starts ripping off the side panels. Like, the things are there to prevent it from being flipped onto its side. So that thing is completely ghost. And you kind of keep seeing, like, so... Oh, Jesus, I was about to call it a lockjaw there. Dissector pushes it under the pulverizer. And then as he kind of drives away, you see Ramstein starting to try and drive away. Also, Ekvil, because I've not done that yet. You see Ramstein start to try and drive away. And then it just kind of doesn't. It kind of like starts to move a little bit, and then it gets hit again, and it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And then Dissector puts it up on the infamous deadly ramp, and Ramstein isn't really going anywhere at that point anyway. And then you see the awesomeness of the jaws as Dissector opens them up and pulls Ramstein out onto the kill saws to end this fight.
Yep. Absolutely. So that is the end of that first match. Now this goes to a judge's decision who rule it 39-6. How?
Maybe for the first like sort of couple of seconds of Ramstein, like it probably had a good couple of rams like early on, but then it just got very much.
Yeah.
It got very much dominated from then.
It's, I mean, just it's bizarre, but absolutely. Hey guys, Alan here. Just taking a quick break from the podcast to let you know that if you are enjoying this podcast and you want to hear more. The whole archive is available either on your podcatcher of choice or on the Audio Boom website. Alternatively, if there is some other podcasts you would like to listen to between listening to us, there is a list published on the Robot Report of several of the most popular podcasts, a botcast list, as it's referred to on the website. We will have a link in the description of this podcast. So, on the podcast list at the Robot Report, it lists the podcast in question, a quick description about the podcast, and all the links that you can go onto to access their episodes. The podcasts that are listed include Behind the Bots, Extreme Scrutiny Club, Roasting Robots, Roboteers, Stand By, The Drop Zone, The Robocast, The Robot Wars History Podcast, The Shuntcast, and of course, Rise of the Robots. So if you check out that page, it will give you plenty of listening between now and your next episode of Rise of the Robots. Let's get back to the final part of this week's episode. We then move on to the lightweight battle between Evil Fish Tank and Toe Crusher.
The Toe Crusher.
So Toe Crusher is by Team Cool Robots. It's very similar in design to its heavyweight counterpart, Overkill. Evil Fish Tank is the robot that defeated Tentamushi.
Boo.
And this does not go well for Evil Fish Tank.
Well, the first thing I've got here is Toe Crusher and... Oh, God, what was the name of that other robot from Season 3 of Robot Wars?
Which one?
Toe Cutter.
Toe Cutter. Yeah.
Yeah. New wrestling tag team.
The Toe Destroyers.
They fuck your toes.
So, at first, both robots are kind of flying around, not really touching each other. And what ends up happening is Toe Crusher gets caught by a kill saw and turned upside down. Which isn't great, but it's not terrible. And then as it's kind of flying around the wrong way around, it just has its wedge underneath the pulverizer at the wrong time.
Yeah, it just got caught, and just the front of it just got absolutely torn off. And, it was very unlucky.
And you actually see like Toe Crusher sees this and just takes advantage.
Pretty much. I mean, now like it pretty much turned into Polycarbonate King Buxton.
Yeah. Except not as fast or as powerful.
Or not as on fire.
And meanwhile, throughout this match, both robots get sent flying by the kill source.
Oh, man. There was a lot of times where this kind of happened during this match, but Toe Cutter, like, anytime Toe Cutter got caught in the kill source, it done this weird sort of dance, because it would just, like, kind of bobble all about the place, because it would start to go up, but then it would always kind of be still on the kill saw, so it would get hit like another three times before it flies away. But this is the kind of part where you look at Toe Cutter. See, after the sort of flipping scoop that it has gets torn off, you kind of see the slight flaw in the build from Toe Cutter, because it's Evil Fish Tank. Yeah. Because when it's on its back, the wheels can still move, but they are nowhere near as on the floor as they are on the other side. So, like, it's struggling really hard to get any kind of traction to move about. And it shows, because there's a part where it's just stuck on, like, the kill saws. And you see the wheels spinning, but it's just not moving.
So, unsurprisingly... Toe Crusher wins that by knockout.
Yep.
And we have one fight. Well, we do have one final match, but before that, we get to see all the other hobbies that the robot ears get up to, which include making a remote control couch that can go onto the road.
Yeah. And the fact they keep driving past cars and you can clearly hear the cars beeping at them, like, get the fuck off the road, you idiot.
We've got Jamie Heineman has made super powered roller skates.
Ah, yes. with the drills attached to the sides.
Yep. And we also have a beer serving robot.
Yeah, kind of a robot butler. What everyone's always wanted.
Which is... It's weird. Because it's stuff like...
I think...
It actually... It's not like it just pours you a beer, which I can understand. No, you actually... It will actually give you the beer to drink.
Yeah, it will hold it for you.
Which is...
But by that logic, though, it clearly means you need to control the robot to feed you the beer.
Yeah.
And then he says, I just kind of wish that I could get the robot to go to the toilet for me so I don't need to leave the couch. And it's like,
ew.
I mean, if you can control it to hold a bedpan under you, then there's that.
Anyway, moving on. Moving on very swiftly. So we get on to the final match of the shorter episodes, and it is Dead Blow versus Bad Attitude, which is a Wedgebot.
A Wedgelet.
A Wedgelet. And, wow, this match is surprisingly one-sided.
Yeah. I mean, like, Bad Attitude does have a good amount of power behind it and everything, I've got to admit.
Absolutely. And it's, what ends up happening is, it just, Deadblow, and it is the problem with Hammerbots, is no matter how fast your hammer is, if you can't hit anything,
yeah,
it doesn't really matter. And I mean, if no, totally. Deadblow can't hit you, you must be going fast.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of speed and a lot of power behind Bad Attitude. So, but I feel like it's just kind of one of these things where it kind of goes to show that, like, this is the kind of time where this thing needed a weapon. Like, see if it maybe had, like, a saw or something, like, in between the wedge, so that every time it got in under somebody, it sawed away its lower half or something. Like, that would have helped it a bit more.
Now, one thing that does happen is that Deadblow's weapon ends up getting stuck in the barrier.
Yeah, just kind of got stuck, like, kind of behind it, and it just couldn't really get out from there.
So, unsurprisingly, this match ends 42-3.
Oof.
So we finish the episode, the first time ever that Deadblow's been made to look ordinary.
Yeah, and it's, you know, from the very basic design.
Absolutely. That's it. I mean, that's, in many ways, that's not entirely surprising, I suppose, if it's that idea of, you know, why mess with the basics?
I mean, yeah, totally, like, it done well for what it had. And if you have speed and power, like, as much as I always piss and moan about these kind of robots, like, sometimes you just can't argue with results, though, can you?
Absolutely not.
And believe me, I will piss and moan more about this in the future.
Absolutely. Will you possibly even be doing this next week?
Possibly.
As we get on to the first of four hour-long episodes.
Oh, yeah. Finally. Like, this is why you should have just been an hour-long every episode. Then we could have got more matches, like Mortis versus Nightmare.
Absolutely. As next week, we will be covering only one episode as we get to episode 11 of BattleBots.